How do you do? Is there anything in life that's guaranteed? Didn't seem like it to the man in this story. That which he most desired seemed elusive and unattainable to him. So he gave up trying and lived carelessly. He greatly feared losing the one thing that made it all worthwhile. But he lost those fears when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
This is Ken.
Ken, something's wrong with Ma. I came home from school and found her lying on the floor.
Where's Dad?
I don't know. I haven't seen him since yesterday.
He better not have hurt her again.
Well, she can't talk right and her eyes are crossed. And she can't get up.
I'll be right there with an ambulance.
Lighting the darkness with true life stories of real people. This is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Keeping clean is a challenge to homeless people. They have to rely on public facilities and are not always welcome. But when they come to Pacific Garden Mission, they are treated like family, receiving hot showers and fresh clothing, hearty meals, and a clean bunk for the night, all without charge, thanks to friends who send financial gifts. Because many have numerous physical ailments, the mission also provides medical and dental treatment to resident guests, also free. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but who can say, I have made my heart clean? Well, that is the real goal at the mission, as pastors and counselors share the good news that will cleanse a man or woman's heart, giving them new life. And that's what this program celebrates, going out to the world in 14 languages. Now for broadcast around the earth. Here is program number 3254 in the series, Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I came as soon as I heard.
Where were you, Dad?
Visiting a friend. What happened?
Well, the doctor said she had a stroke. Her left side is paralyzed.
When did that happen?
Right after Jake went to school. Her speech is slurred, but she told me that she called and called, but nobody came. She tore the covering off the couch trying to get up.
Your mother always had grit.
I went by last night. She mentioned a terrible headache she's had for 2 weeks. I told her to see a doctor, even offered to take her, but she wouldn't do it.
No, we don't have insurance, son.
Oh, Dad, I should have insisted on getting her to the doctor, Dad. To think that she lay there all day calling for help.
Help was too late for his mom, but deliverance would come for the man in this story. This is the conclusion of the true testimony of Kenneth Watkins, right now on Unshackled.
Mom had always been the backbone of our family. She held us together when Dad set fire to the house and disappeared for 7 years to escape prosecution. After he came home, she endured his abuse. Dad was an immoral drunkard, plain and simple. He was never a real father to us five kids as we grew up. I joined the Army right out of high school and sent money home to Mom to provide for my four younger siblings. I trained to work with helicopters and sailed to Korea on a troop ship. But we had a bad storm on the way. God, if you will let me live long enough to know the truth, I will one day serve you. I'd prayed that same prayer when I was 12 years old, fearful of going to hell. And like most people, I forgot God after the crisis passed. In Korea, I started drinking with friends, something I had vowed never to do because of my father's drunkenness. We were based 20 miles north of Seoul, and one day, a buddy and I went sightseeing. Taking a movie camera, we walked all over the city.
I don't know about you, Ken, but I've seen enough sights for one day. Let's head back to the base.
Ah, too soon.
It's getting late, and the bus to Uijeonbu takes a long time. And then we have to still backtrack to the base.
No, I'm having a good time, Joe. I'm staying here.
They told us not to be out alone at night, remember?
Yeah, you know, the war may be over, but they still have hostiles in Korea. I know.
You'd better come with me.
No, I'll see you in the morning. Well, after he left, I had second thoughts, but none of them told me where the bus station was because we had wandered around the city so long. I found the train station, however, and boarded a train for Wee Jambu, but it was the wee hours of the morning when the train arrived. I had no idea where the bus station was, so I started walking toward a light on the horizon. The street was just wide enough for an army truck to pass between the buildings, but I could see cigarettes glowing in the dark on each side of the street. Then I heard footsteps fall in behind me, three men. One of them moved beside me and spoke in broken English. The other stayed close behind me. Prickling with fear, I arrived at the light source, a big steel bridge. As I crossed the bridge, I felt sure that they intended to rob and kill me and throw my body in the river. Should I strike first? Later, I told my buddy about the ordeal.
What did you do?
Well, just as I was about to take the last step into the darkness, a big army truck came up from behind, headlights on us. I waved my arm to flag them down. Man, those screeching brakes were the best sound I ever heard.
You were lucky.
Yeah, it was a flatbed truck, and the Korean passenger hopped out and motioned for me to get in between them. But after what I'd just been through, I jumped in the back.
I don't blame you. What did the stalkers do?
Well, I looked back, and they were walking back to town.
You think they were bad guys?
No doubt. The Korean in the passenger side of the truck drew his hand across his throat, showing that he concurred.
Huh, you were lucky, Ken.
Yeah, by then I was stone sober, that's for sure. I thank God for sending those two men to rescue me, but I didn't stop drinking. I finished my 3 years in the Army and was honorably discharged in 1959, after which I went back home to Kentucky, where I worked as a bookkeeper for an auto dealership. A year later, I met Geneva, a beautiful 17-year-old. We married when she was 18.
Did you find what I needed at the store?
Sure did. I walked out just as the church next door was letting out.
Oh, they must have Wednesday evening services.
Yep, several people came up to me and the pastor asked me if I knew Christ.
What'd you say?
No, I do not.
Your mom said you're just like your dad.
I am not.
You do drink a lot, Ken.
You know that preacher told me I should give my life to Christ or hell is my eternal home?
Oh, who wants to hear that? He probably wouldn't like my smoking either.
Well, why don't you quit?
Why don't you quit drinking?
It hurt that Mom thought I was like my dad. I could be violent when I was drunk, but I didn't stop drinking. Our first son was born, and not long after that, Mom had a stroke. Dad and I stayed by her side at the hospital.
Hello?
Geneva, honey, Mom's gone.
Oh, Ken, I'm sorry they couldn't save her.
When we were riding in the ambulance to the hospital, she put her arm on my shoulder. She said, "Son, you're a good man. I love you." Geneva, I never heard her say that before.
I'm sorry, Ken.
She was only 52. She had such a hard life.
How's your dad taking it?
Oh, nothing fazes him. He only cares about himself. After Mom's death, we moved to Indiana, where I worked in Chicago for a trucking firm. But they were on strike so much I didn't earn enough money. Then we moved to Ohio, where I worked for a big chemical company, and we had a second son. In 1967, our baby daughter was born with a defective heart, and she lived only 6 hours. We were devastated. One day at work on the production line where I was a foreman, a Christian worker came to me.
Ken, are you a Christian?
Nope.
You've probably tried many things in your life. Why not try the claims of Christ? If there's nothing to them, you lose nothing but your time. If there's something to them, you gain everything.
His statement bothered me, and yet when a neighbor came by our house to invite us to hear an evangelist at church, I passed on the invitation, instead urging Geneva to go. She accepted, and the neighbors came by each night to pick her up and bring her home. Well, how was the service tonight?
I received Christ as my Savior.
Oh, does that mean you're gonna quit smoking?
We'll see. But I know for sure I'll go to heaven now.
How can you be sure?
The preacher read some verses in the Bible where God promises that He'll never let go of us once we receive Jesus.
Never?
He quoted Jesus saying, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand."
A few days later, the neighbor came by and witnessed to me. I listened, but my heart was so hard that I thought to myself, if he even blinks while talking to me, I will not believe a thing he says. I never saw him blink.
Ken, I grew up attending a mainline church, but didn't have a clue what Jesus had done for me. Then someone invited me to this church. I heard the gospel that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I received him as Savior, and he has changed me forever. Ken, my mother is 92 years old, and she will not let me talk to her about Jesus Christ. She's counting on her good works, but they can't save her.
Well, that's pretty judgmental.
The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
I decided that if any man could say that about his own mother, there must be something to what he said. So I went to church that night to hear the visiting evangelist. And what I heard would revolutionize my life and my relationship with my father.
We'll hear more about Ken's story in a moment. How is it possible, many wonder, to provide support for so many people? Come visit and see for yourself why Pacific Garden Mission is called the Old Lighthouse. We'll give you a tour of the facilities, from the men's and women's dormitories to the dining hall and chapel in the atrium, from the kitchen to the medical and dental clinic. You'll see how we minister to the whole person, from clothing and healing the physical to clothing and healing the spiritual. Our visitors come from all over the country, students on spring break, longtime friends now retired. They come from halfway around the world and as close as Wisconsin. And they leave behind comments that warm our hearts like these. "I had to miss a day's pay to visit, but it was worth it." Many say, "I've been listening to Unshackled since I was a child." Come on Saturday, and you can join the audience in our auditorium for an Unshackled production, a unique opportunity. Stay for supper in our dining room, sharing a meal with our homeless guests. There is no charge for this unforgettable visit. For more information, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
I was 33 years old that night in 1970 as I listened to the evangelist tell how Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. When the preacher gave an altar call, I went forward, knelt, and prayed for salvation. Our pastor was staying there with the evangelist as I stood up, disappointed because I didn't feel anything. I told him how I felt.
"Son, I appreciate your honesty, but salvation is by faith, not by feelings. Feelings can change moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. Faith endures forever. Let me show you some verses, what God says about salvation. Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 9. You read.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Look at verse 13 again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Were you sincere when you prayed?
Yes, sir, I was.
Can God lie?
No, sir, God cannot lie.
You just called on God. So, what did He do for you?
He saved me.
Take God at His word. and act on it in simple, believing faith that what he says, he will do.
God opened my eyes to my fallen nature that night, the violent alcoholic I'd become, like my dad. I had done great damage to my family, but I repented and began reading the Bible. 2 years after my salvation, a missionary spoke at church, and I told Geneva I would like to be a missionary. She said she wasn't cut out to be a pastor's wife, so I asked the Lord to help me win souls here at home. I also started praying for Dad's salvation. Dear God, please save my father. He's done some terrible things, but you are not willing that any should perish, Lord. Not me, not him. Please save him, Lord. Wow, Geneva, I'm reading the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, and God said we're not to make idols and bow down to them.
That's true.
Alcohol was my idol.
Yes, I know.
Then it says in verse 5, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me."
It's like a generational curse.
You know, I've been praying for my dad that he will get saved.
I don't know. God sure has his work cut out for him with that man.
God lets us choose whether or not to receive Jesus, but we're expected to pray for the lost.
I know, but...
Geneva, look, I've been reading the book of Revelation 2. Listen to what it says in chapter 1. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy." Just reading and hearing the book of Revelation is a blessing. Let's go down and visit Dad. I want to read to him.
I'll stay here with the kids, Ken. I don't like the way your dad drinks.
5 years had passed after my salvation when I drove down to Kentucky that July. All my siblings had moved on and Dad lived alone. He was still drinking hard. We talked for a few hours, then I picked up a Bible lying on the table and started reading Revelation to him. He sat and listened without moving as I read the entire book. By then it was late, so I went to bed and the next day I drove back to Ohio. God, I don't think I can stand to pray another prayer for my dad to be saved. Send your Holy Spirit and convict him so badly that he can't refuse you anymore. I went back to work on Monday, and 3 or 4 days later, when I came home, Geneva handed me a letter from Dad.
It's unusual for him to write.
Yeah, well, listen to this, honey. Son, the Lord's Spirit convicted me the other night so strong that I had to do something. I gave my life to Jesus and was baptized too.
Your dad is saved?
Yeah, God answered our prayers. We have to go see him. When we visited my dad the next time, I could see the change in him. He had quit drinking. Shortly after that, he had a bad heart attack. Doctors told me that only 3 out of 10 people survived that kind of attack, but Dad survived, spending 17 days in the hospital. I bought the land next to Dad's house and began building a brick house so we could live near him.
Can I help you, son?
No, you're supposed to be taking it easy, Dad.
Oh, I'll go crazy if I don't do something.
No, your job is to rest.
Did you see those men drive up a while ago?
Yeah.
A bunch of old drunks. Trying to get me to drink. I don't want to be around that stuff.
Yeah, they don't understand, Dad.
No, they sure don't. You know how I got to drinking alcohol?
No.
Our neighbor, old Jesse. He took me to town on the back of his horse once when I was 15, and he got me drunk. I was hooked from then on.
Isn't he the one that...
Yeah, talked me into burning the house for the insurance money. He's the one... You know, I never got one penny. Just a whole lot of trouble.
Dad was an excellent chef, especially wild game, and we'd sit and share a meal together. One evening he asked me to come over and see something. He led me to an old shed on the property.
What are those things I found in here?
Wow, I haven't seen these in years.
What are they? This looks like an old lunch meat can.
Oh, it is. I mounted this old refrigerator clock on it.
Why?
Oh, they're just toys, Dad. You never could afford to buy real toys, so we made our own. I made this one, too.
I had no idea.
Yeah, brings back a lot of memories.
And some I'd rather not remember. I have wasted my entire life, son, and I know it.
I know how you feel, Dad. I felt the same way when I came to Christ. But God promises to restore the years the locust has eaten. I'll never forget the expression on Dad's face that night as he sadly tried to catch up on the family he had abandoned. Dad had never had any kind of relationship with us other than violence until Jesus saved him. He lived 5 years after he came to Christ.
Hello?
Jake, I have bad news. Dad died today.
Really? What happened, Ken?
Well, while I was at work, he took his saw and sawed down a tree near the creek. It fell, and he fell with it.
He's not supposed to do stuff like that.
I know. They found him with the saw still gripped in his hand.
He never apologized to any of us for the way he lived and treated us.
No, he didn't. But the neighbor said the night Dad was saved at church, he walked to the pulpit and apologized for the way he lived among them.
Really?
She said then Dad stood there and chastised some of them for the way they lived in front of him all those years.
Hypocrites, huh?
Well, I've been guilty of that myself.
Yeah, the way he lived and treated us? He should have gone to hell.
Except for Jesus, we'd all go to hell. That's what we deserve. Over the years, God used me to witness to hundreds of people and lead some to Christ. I learned early on to not just say I was saved, but to tell people that the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. While my wife's brother lay in the hospital with cancer, we would go to the chapel across the hall and pray. A patient sat in his room and watched us with anguished eyes. One day he joined me in the chapel.
I've been watching you, and you have the most serene expression I've ever seen. What is your secret?
Do you know the Lord?
I don't know if there is a God. I'm a Jewish doctor, and I've been to India studying with gurus. I even spent 3 years in a Jewish synagogue, but I found no anchor for my soul.
There is a God.
The reason I think there might be is because of the miraculous way the body gets energy. When we eat, the body breaks down the food and the cells take in the energy. But where do the cells get the energy to do that?
In Him we live and move and have our being.
Is that in the Bible?
Yes.
There could be a God, but where to find Him or how, I do not know.
Would you like me to tell you how I came to know God? I told him about my false, preconceived ideas and how I learned that salvation is by faith in God's Word, not by feelings. Then I asked if he wanted to pray for salvation. He did. Before he left the next day, I gave him a card with my phone number in case he had questions. A few months later, he called, rejoicing in his Messiah.
You two talked for 3 hours.
He's pretty excited about Yeshua Jesus. He tells everyone who listens how the Lord changed his life.
His countenance certainly brightened up after he prayed with you.
Jesus can change anyone's life.
I guess you should have been a missionary after all, Ken.
All Christians are ambassadors for Christ. This is where God wants me. He keeps bringing people into my life who don't know Jesus. After all, Jesus said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee."
The church has a jail ministry. You could do that, Ken.
You know what? I think I will, honey. For years, I thought you had to live a perfect life to go to heaven. And no one can do that because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the penalty for sin is death. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay that penalty for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, you can have this new life by repenting of your sins and asking Christ Jesus to save you. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Last year, my beloved Geneva died of lung cancer, but I will see her again, and we'll be together throughout eternity. All our children and grandchildren have professed faith in Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." My story is shared so that others will receive salvation. I pray that God and my parents will be honored by the truths that I've shared with you. Jesus redeemed us with his blood.
What about you, listening friend? Do you have a place in heaven guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. There is no rigid prayer. Simply ask God to forgive you, because you believe Christ Jesus died for your sins and rose again. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. From a small island in the Pacific, this teenager emailed us, "I learned a lot from Unshackled, and I want to thank you guys." Well, we appreciate each message and hope that you ask the manager of the station to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3254. Heard in part two of the true story of Kenneth Watkins were David Brian Stewart, Gary Brichetto, Steve Bayorgen, Allison Voller, Michael Wallner, and Herb Lichtenstein. Original music, Scott Griffin. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Troubled? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.